Hello and welcome to the Let's Talk Cloud ERP podcast. This special edition podcast is brought to you in partnership with the Let's Talk Data podcast. I am your host, Jennifer Frank McGrory. We have a great conversation planned for everyone today. In just a few minutes, I'm going to hand the microphone over to my esteemed colleague, Terry Penner. He's going to host a conversation around SAP S/4HANA Extensibility and SAP Build. I will be back to host in the near future with new stories I'm currently working on. Until then, let's get rolling. Welcome, Terry. Take it away.
Thanks, Jennifer. Great to be with you. My name is Terry Penner. I'm part of the SAP Business Technology Platform Marketing and Solutions team, covering BTP for Rise and Grow.
Yes. My name is Felix Wente. I work as an architect in the central architecture team of S/4HANA for the topic of extensibility.
Thanks. And my name is Mark Wright. I'm a director of product marketing for our solutions SAP Build Code underneath the BTP platform.
And hi, I'm Vanessa Micheli-Schmidt. I'm a chief product manager for SAP Build, which is part of the SAP BTP area at SAP.
Perfect. Thanks very much. If you're listening to us for the first time, we also encourage you to look at some of our previous podcasts as well on clean core extensibility, AI, lots of great ERP topics. And we're going to be focusing on S/4HANA Cloud Private Edition in this podcast in particular. So to start off with, we've heard a lot about clean core. So let's just hear from our experts. Felix, to start with you, what is clean core in your own words?
Well, I think it can be best explained if you look directly at the words. So core describes the main aspects of an ERP system. Yeah, so mainly it's about extensibility, but also it's about processes, about data, data quality, about integration, and it's about operation of the system. And the capabilities of the core, they depend on the implemented software stack, which is the customer system. And the second word, the first word is about clean, is about qualities of the adaptation of this core by customers, by partners, and mainly, as I said, extension. This means being up to date, being transparent, having an unmodified core, having a consistent core, and to work in an efficient and cloud compliant way.
Yeah, great. And for me as well, with clean core is also It's a methodology, it's a way of building. So the extensions are kept separate from the SAP application. It improves total cost of ownership, just makes life as a customer a lot better in keeping up with the latest innovations from SAP. Moving just a related question to that, just emphasizing clean core and extensibility. So Felix, can you talk to us about why is clean core so important to S/4HANA Cloud Private Edition customers in particular?
Well, I would say mainly it's about the ability to be agile. Yeah. So if you want to leverage innovations in a fast and easier way, consuming updates, upgrades, and you would not like to be disturbed by large adaptation projects when applying updates, which are projects which can hardly be planned, if you have a lot of modification or unclean kind of software. So in the end, you save effort in extensibility when you do it, and you save effort in testing, you reduce the TCO. And if you look at the topic of data quality, you easier can turn your data into value. You have more reliable forecasts, you have more precise predictions.
Makes sense. And so let's talk a little bit more in terms of how it's really applying to customers. So Mark and Vanessa, starting with Vanessa, what are some key customer challenges, some common customer challenges that you've seen, that you've experienced around extensibility and clean core? Vanessa?
Yeah, so what I sometimes hear from customers is that they are not aware of the power of the portfolio that SAP offers. So depending on the developers that a customer actually has available, that is pro coders or maybe low coders or something in between like key users, then Fusion development scenarios might allow to actually create powerful applications or process extensions while keeping the core clean and then getting all these advantages that Felix has just mentioned. When I now mention our portfolio, when it comes to extension development, customers sometimes also struggle with deciding for which use case they are supposed to be using which tool or which tools. And although there's more and more seamless integration between our tools that are available, sometimes the use case actually might determine the tool to be used. So what I like to recommend is always a good use case evaluation. So that is really key before starting to implement something. So questions that might be asked could be, is it a typical low-code use case? Do you have key users available and can take some burden from your IT? Then take build. Or do you want to quickly create template-based Fiori applications, for instance, and have someone who prefers working in a pro-code environment? Then use build code. So checking what kind of personas will be available to work on the solution one aims for should really be part of the decision process, which tool to use while keeping the core clean, of course.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And Mark, can you talk a little bit about the same question around customer challenges and around extensibility and clean core?
Yeah, absolutely. And Vanessa touched on kind of the tooling, but when I look at it, you know, of course, I'm on the app dev side, but we hear a lot about, you know, extending past S4, right? So when you look at what drives your business acceleration, it's about bringing a lot of the information, the data to the end users. And of course, SAP is the leader of business relevant data, but you can't actually solely rely on SAP. We see a lot of customers that want to run applications that span across a lot of different business networks. And that becomes a challenge for developers because they need to touch third-party systems as well as SAP. So we're providing this landscape to create these side-by-side extensibility use cases that is for both SAP and non-SAP. Now, of course, we're a leader in SAP applications, but it's very important that we look at the integration aspects as well and touch on non-SAP systems. And that's where build apps, build code, enterprise automation, all the kind of tools that we provide in BTP helps customers out on that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, as we go along here, let's talk a little bit about best practices and what are the options, because it's not just about, like, although we have build and build code as an option, there are options for within S4HANA as well that we need to make sure we talk about. So Felix, let's talk a little bit about extending my data tables or some standard functionality. So what are my options? What are some best practices that you'd recommend from your experience?
Well, if you want to extend SAP S4HANA on stack, which means directly in the system where the SAP software runs, we have basically two tool infrastructures, one for key users and one for developers. For key users, it's mainly about the adaptation of UIs. It's about adding custom fields, simple custom logic like calculations, mini applications, custom views, and analytical queries. And all that is defined in a wizard-like environment, you could say, which are directly launched from the applications of SAP S4HANA. So if you have the role of being a key user, you can directly navigate into that without knowing the technical aspects of the data model. And if you are a developer, then you can make use of the ABAP cloud approach that is also used by SAP itself to develop the application. And as a developer, you can build your own applications. You can build more complex extensions than a key user can do, or you can expose local software artifacts as remote APIs in case you would like to build on BTP upon that. So just tailored to the needs which you have as a customer. But it's important you should stick to public local or remote APIs that are offered by SAP and really marked as being public. So if you do that, then you are compliant with the clean core approach, because we keep these APIs and other software artifacts stable. So when you do an upgrade after having used these artifacts, you will be safe and there's no need of adaptation of your code. In the private cloud, there you can still use the extensions you already have. So we call this classic extensibility, and mainly it corresponds to the brownfield code, which exists in already running and being operative system landscapes. So also, nevertheless, it's possible to make them more clean, more clean core compliant, and we recommend a set of stable legacy APIs, mainly BAPIs, for example, which can be wrapped in your custom code and can be adapted in the public cloud-like APIs in future. So we call this three-tier approach. If you would like to read more details about that, we are going to link some guidance and papers and blogs to for you.
For sure. Yeah, we'll definitely include those links in there. So Mark, can you talk a little bit about some of the best practices that you've been experiencing with?
Yeah, absolutely. And Felix kind of talked about, you know, the on-stack and key user capabilities for keeping a clean core. And when I talk about best practices, it's typically around the side-by-side extensions, right? So being able to continue your clean core by implementing solutions on a platform. And when we talk about our platform, we're talking about BTP, or business technology platform, that is truly, you know, an innovative and a differentiator within SAP. So we look at building these cloud native applications and really maximizing the productivity. In the platform, we're providing a lot of different things for your frameworks, languages, libraries, tools. And these are really based off of two different type of modeling capabilities. So we call them CAP and RAP. So CAP is our cloud application programming model, and RAP is our RESTful application programming model. A lot of our developers, you know, when they're trying to develop and extend these data tables, these standard functionalities, they use CAP if they're a Java or Node JavaScript developer. And then our RAP is used for typical SAP developers that prefer ABAP. And all of these can be used to really model those domains, create these service definitions, and they really extend that standard functionality that you talked about. The nice thing about these is it provides the solutions in tools that are provided on BTP. So we look at SAP Build Code that's making it easier for developers to use, create CAP models in a graphic data modeler. We also have these data backend visual cloud functions in Build Apps. And all of this is also being driven through AI and integration. So that's really where our best practices fall in, is being able to leverage these different programming models to take advantage of.
Yeah, makes sense. And we'll talk a little bit more about the AI part of it a bit later on. It's a really hot topic. So let's talk a bit about the advantages and disadvantages of each approach. So Felix, starting with you, can you talk a bit about the advantages and disadvantages of on-stack versus BTP tools? And then Vanessa, we'll go to you after that.
So I would say the advantage of on-stack extensibility is that you have a tight coupling between the SAP applications and customer extensions. So this means you can extend business logic of our applications in a transactional context. So you have a real deep integration into our processes. You can enhance SAP's data schemes, and doing that, you can benefit from data neighborhood, for example, in analytical scenarios. On the other hand side, the disadvantage is tight coupling again, yeah? Because although on stack extensions, they are clean, core compliant, and they will not scale beyond the ERP system that you operate in its user group. Yeah? If you would like to approach customers of your customers, for example, contractors, you might do not want to let them into your system. So that kind of coupling would be too tight. Yeah? And on-stack extensions, you can say they are specific for the enhanced stacks. They are not the best way for self-contained larger applications or hub scenarios. And last but not least, maybe that approach does not fit to your preferred software stack or your preferred programming language.
That's great. And Vanessa, what would be your perspective on the advantages and disadvantages of on-stack versus using BTP tools?
Yeah, I mean, Felix already pointed at it, right? So you would choose side-by-side extensibility on BTP when you don't want to have this tight coupling. That is when you want rather to decouple your extensions from S/4HANA and Bit and want to, as we call it, loosely couple them via, for instance, remote API calls or events. So you'd also choose it when your extension is, as Felix said, what's not available in the on stack extensibility is when it's a hub scenario. So that means when you really want to integrate with several S/4HANA systems, or more importantly, with other SAP solutions or cloud services. With Build comes also the possibility to automate processes for SAP S/4HANA, even across systems, right? So this is another good example where you would need side-by-side extensibility. When I talk about Build, what's also worth mentioning is the interoperability between low and pro code tools. We call that fusion development. I mentioned that earlier as well. And that allows actually more people with different skill sets than in your organization to be part of this extensibility story. So you can leverage innovations that come from a broader enterprise employees and have more experts being part of the innovation process in your enterprise.
Yeah, interesting. So let's explore that a little bit more. So what's changed? You mentioned a few things that's changed there, but what's changed with extensibility for S/4HANA over the past few years? Is it just the tooling that's different, or have the user scenarios changed? Vanessa, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't see a change in the scenarios. Maybe Mark and Felix can comment on that, but I rather see a change in the workforce and in the tooling that they can and actually want to use. What we are facing everywhere in the industry, and probably the listeners as well, is a talent gap. Plus the requirements towards, for instance, IT departments, they do grow exponentially, while those departments per se, unfortunately, don't, right? So what everybody is therefore seeking is a simplification of development processes and an increase of developer productivity. So how can you achieve this? And this is also what we think about when we're building our products. We've mentioned AI earlier, right? But this is actually one of the ways to achieve this. You can augment your tools with AI, like we do in, for instance, Build Code, where you can create data models with natural language, or in Build, where you will be able to describe, for instance, a process with natural language, so it can be created for you. Another option is what I mentioned earlier, is to widen the developer range. Key users can thereby take a piece of the burden of IT. So when you allow these to be part of the development process, this can result in these powerful fusion dev scenarios where multidisciplinary teams then jointly create complex solutions, where someone from IT that has defined guardrails prior to that creation process takes then oversight, or for instance, the backend creation of a certain extension only.
Thank you, Vanessa. What has not changed, I also would like to emphasize, is are the goals of extensibility defined. Yeah? So I said in the beginning that our main goal is to be compliant with Clean Core, and we targeted extensibility from the beginning in the last according to this goal. Yeah? So we did not change that. Yeah? So we defined APIs and other software artifacts that we keep stable, and we kept them stable. But beyond that, our tools have been enhanced release by release. So you always will find new features. They will be more powerful with every release, and we are going to provide more public APIs and more stable extension points for business logic. And one new offering is the developer extensibility with the ABAP cloud approach. It's a quite new offering and allows, as I said already, a more complex way of extensibility. So that you might call new.
Yeah, and I just kind of finish up what Felix and Vanessa said, right? I mean, they're right, right? So, I mean, Clean Core is just a concept. It's an idea or principle that we've had for quite some time. So Clean Core itself hasn't changed, but what we are changing is just making it easier to actually accomplish Clean Core. In the past, you know, we've been talking about it for, as Felix said, a year or more, probably even beyond that. We didn't always make it easy. Yes, APIs were available. Not all of them were available. How do you actually integrate with the side-by-side extensibility solutions? And moving forward, now we're really making it easy for SAP developers to stay within SAP. And I think that's a big thing to really think about. You don't have to go and accomplish these things with third-party tools to be able to get Clean Core. We're providing things, you know, the solutions, BTP, Build Apps, the Build Code, and Integration Suite to make a very easy development to create Clean Core with side-by-side extensions and even on stack. So now just moving forward, it's just easier than ever to achieve that. And you can achieve it just with SAP.
Right. So we can improve that productivity that we were talking about before. Let's go into a specific example in here, a specific best practices example. Let's say I'm developing a UI application or a mobile app that needs to connect to S/4HANA. So starting with you, Vanessa, what are my best practice options? And then Mark after that.
Yeah, so I mean, my recommendation depends a bit on the workforce you have available. Let's assume you have business experts with certain requirements, but who are potentially certified or educated as citizen developers or as key users already. So you could have them create a pixel-perfect UI in SAP Build Apps, a web app or a mobile UI actually, whatever their need, right? So, and in that low-code environment, they could easily connect to a backend system as well that has been made available for them by a developer in, for instance, Build Code. And yeah, this is probably the perfect handover to maybe Mark to share recommendations on focusing more on a workforce which wants to work in a professional dev environment.
Yeah, exactly. And so Vanessa and I talk about this and our colleagues do too with Fusion development, right? So it brings into the idea of building these, as Vanessa said, picture perfect applications using Build Apps and connecting to, you know, just S4 as an application. But more importantly, we talk about best practices that Build Code allows you to follow. So the application frameworks that we've called internally Golden Path, and probably customers have heard that, but we're really pushing customers to follow those best practices. With those, it creates these future-proofed applications, right? So Build Code is providing this design and runtime capabilities, and you get out of it UI applications that can be built using Joule Copilot with AI. You can also create those data models that we talked about. You're integrating to SAP third-party systems and using a service center. But more importantly, you develop UI applications with best practices around UI5, Fiori elements, mobile services, and then, of course, like we talked about, the Fusion development for consuming backends, and then the front end is built with Build Apps. We also integrate with enterprise automation flows in some scenarios. So that makes it a very seamless interaction to create these UI applications, and it's extending your S4 from not just mobile, but also those web applications as well.
Let's go back to one of the points you brought up there around AI. So we hear a lot about artificial intelligence, AI. So Felix, can you talk a little bit about what is AI bringing to the table for S4HANA implementers and developers?
Yes, I can. So we have projects running which are targeted for our user groups, for example, for developers. We see a benefit, of course, in AI-generated code. So you might imagine that there's a lot of glue code if you program against S4HANA, or maybe you would like to build applications and it might be a benefit to have a running skeleton. And I think AI would be the best way to fulfill these two use cases and help you there regarding efficiency. And for key users, also we have an AI assistant in planning or in development, which really has the goal to bring key user extensibility to the next level. I said at the beginning that you might extend an SAP application as a key user starting directly from the UI of the application, but this is only that application, but there's far more beyond. Yeah, so you might imagine that the data of an application are used in a business process, or you have a lot of follow-up activities to be done, use extensions and print forms and email templates and analytical reports. Yeah, and if you do not foresee all these possibilities easily as a key user, an AI assistant helps you to really sharply define what you want to reach and have a running key user extension approach to fulfill that.
Great. And then just thinking a little bit about with Build Code, we've heard about Joule, we've heard about generative AI. Mark, can you just talk a little bit about what is the AI story with Build Code?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we're pretty excited with Build Code, right? We're releasing a solution that provides generative AI through SAP Joule's Copilot embedded into the solution. So by providing natural language prompts to Joule, we'll be able to give you the capabilities to create a CAP-based application. So going back to those best practices of extending your S4 backend, the Build Code solution will create these CAP-based applications, and you'll get data models, OData services, sample data, application logic, and unit tests, and even extending the UI through generative AI. What this is doing is creating kind of that foundation of an extension for applications, and you'll be able to increase that developer productivity and be able to get these applications out to market quickly. this, of course, is kind of my area of expertise within build code and using generative AI, but additionally outside of build code, right? SAP is offering a ton of AI capabilities with our AI core or AI foundation, and S4 and developers wanting to extend S4 are going to be able to leverage that AI capabilities elsewhere.
Great, thanks. So let's pivot a bit. A lot of our listeners, a lot of the S4HANA developers are currently using Business Application Studio right now to create applications. So Mark, can you talk to that audience? Help me understand, what does build code mean for me as a Business Application Studio developer?
You bet. Yeah. I mean, this is really just a progression, Terry. So Business Application Studio, for anybody that's not aware of it, this was our web-based IDE for development on BTP. So we provide in Business Application Studio things like guided templates, the service center to integrate to your S4 backend and other environments. It also provides the environment for developers to be proficient with the best practice of SAP development in general. And what we've done is actually bring BAS into build code. So SAP Build Code's development environment is where you can get the embedded AI experience with Joule, and we'll continue to innovate within build code as well. But developers today don't actually lose any ability to use BAS. For those that are moving to build code, it's easy to just use the development environment and not have to commit to the other build code capabilities. So you're not losing anything moving to build code, I guess is the best way to put it. You'll also be able to take more advantage of what's in build code. So the DevOps, the lifecycle management, the design capabilities, all that's in a single solution. But let's keep in mind, right, Business Application Studio is still there for our existing users. There's just going to be more innovation within build code as we move forward.
Sounds great. So just looking forward a little bit, let's just talk a bit about the roadmap for build code. I know there's a lot of exciting things coming down the road. Can you just talk in general terms about what's planned that'll help me work more efficiently with S4HANA?
Yeah, absolutely. So build codes, as I mentioned, it's really tailored towards our pro code developers, and it is really truly a turnkey development environment. So I'm pretty excited about what we bring to the design time and runtime aspects. And what we'll do is actually enhance and improve on the generative AI capabilities. That's a big area for customers to want to be able to see improvement on. And we're going to provide that through different capabilities for your ABAP developers, but also create this more Fusion development capabilities. So Vanessa and I touched on Fusion development quite often. And what we want to do is just increase that development capability so that any developer can get their hands on the build solutions and be able to move forward. I'm pretty excited about what we're going to be able to provide to the developers so that they can extend the S4 applications. And also, what we want to point out too is that there's going to be a lot more seamless interoperability. Well, we want to keep SAP developers to be able to do is easily develop extensions and keep the core clean with S4 and build code and all the SAP build solutions.
Great, thanks. So one of the key concepts for clean core is not just getting to clean core, but staying on clean core, and having effective governance is a really important part of that. Vanessa, could you touch on about how you've mentioned in the past key users being enabled to create applications with build? How open are customers to this? And can you talk a little bit about governance? What are objections? And how does our offering help overcome these issues?
Yes, of course I can. So when I talk about build and low-code development and enabling key users in enterprises, I get two reactions from customers. One is excitement that they now think that they can be quicker in their extension stories, which they can. But then when I have IT sitting in my audience, I see concern. And this is exactly, and it's exactly governance why they are concerned. Because once a customer actually said, so what if now everybody goes rogue in my enterprise and starts building applications, how is IT then supposed to be handling that? And this is exactly what we do not want with low code, right? What we therefore offer, and where we have a packed roadmap actually ahead of us, is guardrails where the IT can actually decide first who is a citizen developer. And you can be very strict or you can be very loose with that. You can say it's only a certain person that has acquired a certain certificate, for instance. And this is also one of the recommendations that we give, that you actually certify your key users or your citizen developer in a certain way so that they are aware also of the obligation that they have when they now start building, right? So this is one way of actually IT giving something at hand to determine who is actually allowed to be built. And then we also provide ways of defining, for instance, environments, like where we allow key users to create the assets that they are creating, and also what kind of data they are allowed to access, to use, to actually process in the application that they use. So we do provide a big set of tools that is very easy to be governed by IT, and that actually ensures that people are not going rogue when they start now creating these extensions.
Yes, for sure. So we'll just wrap it up here a little bit with one question about bringing it all together. So Felix, maybe just is coming back to you. How can you talk a little bit how we are bringing things together with things like ABAP on stack, extensibility with the build tools? How would you frame it for bringing it all together?
Well, I think most important is that you understand that it's not either or. Yeah? So you will face the situation that you have a coexistence of more or less clean extensions in your system landscape. For example, in an existing private cloud installation, you might have a lot of brownfield code, and you cannot expect, although you know the clean core principles, that you reach them in a magic way. So be pragmatic. It's more a kind of journey towards a cloud-like installation than a finger snip. And when you do this journey and you modernize your custom code, then I can encourage you always reflect what is the purpose of the target group of your extensions. So if you consider that in the end, the best way will be a mix of on-stack extensibility, of side-by-side extensions with the different tools that we mentioned today, and that you can use to reach a flexibility tailored to your business needs.
Yeah, for sure. Flexibility for productivity. So I'd like to thank Felix, Mark, and Vanessa for sharing their great insights into this important topic of S/4HANA Cloud extensibility and clean core. It's been great to chat with you. Look forward to hearing more from you in future podcasts and blog. Also encourage everyone to visit the different sites that are linked at the bottom of this page and the associated blog. Have a great day. Back to you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Terry, for hosting this edition of Let's Talk Cloud ERP. Also, check out other episodes of the Let's Talk Cloud ERP podcast to hear directly from other customers on their transformation journeys. And I would be remiss if I didn't thank the Let's Talk Data podcast for their partnership. We couldn't do what we do without them. Until next time, I'm Jennifer Frank-McGrory. Have a great rest of your day.